Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Allen Derry, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans. Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors.
Hi, my name is Doc Griggs, and I'm a community medicine doctor and health literacy expert. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health literacy and communications expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know about COVID-19.
You can find more information about this show and our other daily live updates and Q&A show at noisefiltershow.com.
So let's get started.
COVID cases increased. Now use less water. Imagine going about your day and then receiving direction from your state officials to use less water because of COVID. It may sound strange, but that is exactly what is happening to Florida residents. According to NBC News, officials in Orlando, Florida, urged residents to reduce their water usage because of a chemical used to treat waters being diverted to help the growing number of COVID-19 patients recover in hospitals. Medical facilities sometimes use liquid oxygen to treat COVID-19 patients who have trouble breathing, but that same product is also being used to help make water clean for drinking and other uses. Our hospitals are experiencing the highest number of unvaccinated, critically ill patients at this point, as in any other point during the pandemic, and many of the patients require liquid oxygen, Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer said at a recent news conference. Residents were asked to cut back on water use, particularly for irrigating lawns and plants and washing vehicles. Mayor Dyer warned that if water use didn't decrease, water quality could suffer. The city is doing its part to conserve water by turning off water features at parks and limiting the watering of public grass and other greenery. The mayor blamed the unvaccinated for putting the city in a position of having to face possible water quality issues because Florida's lower vaccination rates correlates to its higher rate of COVID-19 infection. Having to limit water usage isn't a consequence most of us were likely aware of prior to the pandemic. However, now that it is an issue, the ways we can help mitigate this situation is to get vaccinated, continue to wear masks indoors and outdoors, and socially distance whenever possible.
Tackling period poverty. Period poverty is a serious issue for people who menstruate globally, particularly for those in low-income countries. The American Medical Women's Association has defined period poverty as inadequate access to menstrual hygiene tools and education, including but not limited to sanitary products, washing facilities, and waste management. People who live in poverty are vulnerable to menstrual stigma, insufficient menstrual education, and limited access to period products, access to toilets with water and disposal of products, and privacy. This is so very sad to me. As a woman, I cannot imagine this.
You're right. It is, I mean, 50% of this globe menstruates at one point in their lives menstruated. And it's such a low-hanging fruit in terms of stigma. Yes. And really tackling that stigma is so incredibly important. And having you talk about it is incredibly important as well, so that people recognize that period poverty exists. It exists here in the United States. So anyway, in the U.S., around 20% of teenage girls live in poverty, and these challenges can negatively affect their school life as they may skip classes due to not having a supply of period products. And that's so understandable, right? I mean, something as simple as that, you're not going to want to go to school. And I think I just read that I think California is going to start having feminine products in schools for free. You know, this is the reason why things like that are so incredibly important, because low-income women are also at risk of living in period poverty here in the United States. And in 2019, a study published by the Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology investigated the menstrual hygiene needs of low-income women in St. Louis, Missouri. And it found that over the course of a year, around 2/3 of the women surveyed had struggled to afford menstrual products products at some point of the year. Again, let me just say that 2/3 of women surveyed had struggled to afford menstrual products at some point of the year. This is another reason why we need to take taxes off of these feminine hygiene products.
Right. And that was in 2019. This wasn't, you know, 1950s where more people were in poverty. This is 2019,
right,
where it should be so easy to access, yep, these products. Like, it just blows my mind, because as a woman, to not have the products that I need, I cannot imagine the effect that it would have on self-esteem, like my daily life. Like, it would just ruin and permeate everything if I couldn't access what I needed. Furthermore, the pandemic has exacerbated period poverty disparities. Last year, UNICEF revealed that there have even been reports of women forced to prioritize food and water over personal care items due to the pandemic, and that the pandemic increased barriers to accessing menstrual supplies and care, while access to sexual and reproductive health services and information is decreasing. I cannot wrap my brain around that. The fact that I would have to choose whether I eat or have a tampon or a pad, like, what world are we living in?
I know. It's yeah, 100%, of course. People of trans experience also face period poverty. Rodrigo Hen-Lighten, Deputy Executive Director for the National Center for Transgender Equality, stated that many transgender people are experiencing poverty, unemployment, and underemployment at higher rates, and therefore are economically vulnerable.
New research published by JAMA Health has investigated period poverty and provides a range of recommendations to improve the lives of people who face period poverty. These include improving funding for menstrual health research and breaking taboos around talking about menstruation by using healthcare organizations to educate young people and their parents about this normal physiological process. Yes, can we please get rid of the stigma?
Other recommendations include eliminating U.S. sales tax on menstrual products. Please, can we do that already?
Yes.
Why is that even still a thing? This is something that has been talked about for years.
Right.
Still occurs in 32 states, and reaffirming that menstruation should be considered a vital sign and medically assessed on a regular basis to keep track of people's healths. Some countries have passed legislation in an attempt to reduce menstrual health disparities. At the end of 2020, Scotland's Period Products Act made it the first country in the world to make period products free for all and make it mandatory for all public institutions to provide sanitary products for menstruation, while schools in New Zealand are now offering free period products.
Kudos to Scotland and New Zealand.
Yes, indeed.
These recommendations are valuable in order to better understand and solve period poverty. And hopefully many countries will soon follow suit by tackling this important issue.
Yeah, Hope, think about this. Think about if you're in a situation where your economic choices are period products or food, water. As a girl, that interferes with you going to school. And once a month, a couple times a day over the course of a year, pretty much makes up maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks of missed school. Mm-hmm. That's just from menstruating. That's, mm-hmm, you know, doesn't say anything about maybe having colds or the flu or what have you. Mm-hmm. So this is where inequities exist, mm-hmm, especially in poorer parts of the world where girls and young women, you know, who have difficulty accessing period products would just skip school altogether. And then again, that reinforces the cycle of generational poverty. So this is incredibly important. We need to allow these products to be freely distributed in schools and in areas so that we can make sure that young girls or women are able to attend school equally and on par with their male peers.
Once and for all, yes.
Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors. Doc Griggs?
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast. Dr. Derry and I have a daily show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we go into more detail on stories and answer your questions about COVID-19.
You can find Doc Griggs at DocGriggs1 on social media, and you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at DRDERY. You can follow us at Noise Filter on Instagram, Noise Filter NOLA on Twitter, and for more information about us and the show, you can go to noisefiltershow.com. Hey, Doc Griggs, any last words?
Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving. And remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.